This is WCNO Palm City, the good news station.
This is Gene Hilton bringing you the Apostolic Dimension from Spirit of Prophecy Ministries. We welcome you to our program, Raising the Standard. Revelation 19:10 says, "Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy." So with this spirit, let's take a close look at the last days and the coming millennium from a Jewish messianic perspective. There's a great difference between the messianic Jewish understanding and the common Christian interpretation found in most end-time books. Christians over the centuries have separated themselves from their Jewish roots, causing many misunderstandings of key Jewish biblical idioms, therefore missing the true interpretation of many scriptures. We can better understand both the Old Testament and the New Testament by rebuilding the bridge to Judaism and learning to embrace its tradition and worship of God. This does not mean that everyone should wholly convert or become Jewish in lifestyle and religion. Rather, I believe a Christian can embrace and respect Judaism by learning to think in Jewish terminology and honoring God's appointed times, the Jewish festivals, which truly explain the elements of the Christian faith. So join me today as we open the Bible and study God's prophetic foreshadows to teach us about Jesus the Messiah. Let's walk in His footsteps and receive His revelation.
Good afternoon. This is Pastor Gene and Donna Hilton here in Stuart, Florida. Welcome you to our program again on another Saturday afternoon that we've called for almost 23 years, Pastor Donna. It's getting really close. Raising the standard, and that's what we're after. And we're in an incredible season right now. And we're going to talk about some things today that a lot of the church doesn't talk about because they don't really understand it and they don't care to understand it because they claim it's Jewish stuff and that we don't need to understand that. Well, this whole Bible I got in my lap right here was written by Jews, and so we better understand what they've got to say. So we're going to talk about a season called Teshuva. But before we do that, I'm going to have Pastor Donna make the announcement about the phone number, and we want to say hello to Roscoe and Audrey Walks on Andros Island, and we'll pray that the storm coming over again is not going to touch them, and we'll keep them in prayer. Go ahead, Pastor Donna.
Amen. Yes, we do keep that. We're in a watch now, I believe, Bob.
Right, a watch.
We're in a watch, so we pray for the storm to disappear.
That's right.
Disappeared. Dissipate. Never come in, never turn into a hurricane in the name of Jesus.
Tropical storm watch.
It's just a tropical storm watch. So we just pray that you're all safe, and we pray for the Bahamas, and we pray for you, Roscoe and Audrey, as well, and the other people in the Bahamas. And we just want to say hello to you, and we thank the Lord that He's protected you through that last
Dorian,
that last hurricane. And so we thank you for there's no harm there, but there are many people that are homeless and are suffering. So we need to keep those people in prayer and help out as much as we possibly can.
Yes.
Amen. I want to say hello to everyone, and we're blessed to be here this Sabbath. And we do have Shabbat today at 2:00 in the afternoon at the Alliance Church. We use their church for our services, our Shabbat service, and that's at 2:00. So if you'd like to come and join us as we celebrate the Sabbath. And we teach more about the Jewish roots and the truth of God's word. And Pastor Gene's going to talk about Teshuva. What does it mean? It means to return. And
To repent.
And to return. And it means a lot. Amen. And a lot of things have happened during this time, even with Israel. So we just thank the Lord that He has given us this opportunity to share this truth of God's word with you. So I want to give you the telephone number. And if you'd like to have a CD, you can call, or you can go back and listen to this on WCNO as well. We're blessed to be here on WCNO in their station right now, and we just give God the glory. So the phone number here is area code 772-285-7007. I'll repeat that, area code 772-285-7007. And we just bless you, and we say Shabbat Shalom. Amen.
To everybody.
Glory to God, and thank you for continuing to keep Pastor Gene in prayer. And that's all I need to say, I guess. Just pray in the Holy Ghost that a miracle will come, and he will be healed, totally healed in Yeshua's name.
Yes.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Okay, Pastor Gene.
Okay.
I see Barbara Briggs is on. Good to see you, Barbara.
So we're going to talk about a season. It's very important. And today happens to be the 14th day of the sixth month on the Jewish calendar, which is the month of Elul. And so we're going to have a full moon pretty quickly.
Well, that's right. We have a full moon now.
Right.
So we have what? So now we have like 15 days
until Rosh Hashanah.
Until Rosh Hashanah.
Or it's better known as trumpets. Rosh Hashanah is a name for what? The beginning of the year. That's not in the Bible. What we want to talk about is trumpets.
Okay, we're going to talk about trumpets. And it falls on Tishri 1. Amen. And 2.
Right.
So that's only a few days, 15 days from now.
That's right. Could it be this year?
Days.
We're going to be gone.
Could it be this year?
That's right.
Only God knows, but
that's
this
right.
is the right time and the right season, because everything has a time and a season.
That's
okay,
right.
honey.
Well, I was thinking about this word, first of all, the word teshuva. Where does it come from? It comes from a Hebrew word, heruah, which means an awakening blast, and which is blown to get the mankind's attention. On the Jewish calendar, there's a 40-day season called Teshuvah, meaning to return or repent and come back to God. This is, what we're going to talk about today is not necessarily for the church, okay? Unless you're not born again, you can go through this. But we, as the church, we will not be here. We're going to be caught off the earth. So what we're talking about is what God's going to do with Israel. It tells you in Romans 11 that God's going to bring in the fullness of the Gentiles, and then he's going to turn to Israel. And we know they got a period called Jacob's Trouble. It's going to last for 7 years. And so they rehearse this every year about Teshuvah and all that. So there's a 40-day season beginning on Elul 1, and it ends on Tishri 10, which is what? Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, which completes the 40 days. Without the understanding, I believe, with this message and this season, it is impossible to fully grasp the meaning of the high holy days, which we know as what? Trumpets. You know, the Jews talk about Rosh Hashanah all the time, but that's just a new year. So I was going to take you to a place and show you some things that we had talked about in the past. I brought my book in to keep the notes in my mind.
You might want to show that book
I will,
sometime.
I will at the end, yeah. So trumpets are Rosh Hashanah. Also known as Yom Hadin, means the Day of Judgment. On this day, it is taught that all the inhabitants of the world will pass before God, and he's going to do that with the Jewish people. Each person is weighed in the balance and placed into one of three categories. So here's the three categories. We have the Book of the Righteous. This is the Lamb's Book of Life. You can read that in Revelation 21:27. Then there's the Book of the Wicked. Vessels fit for destruction, I call them, Psalm 69:28, and in the book of the intermediates, still in the decision mode, Matthew 3:16-18. It's also mentioned in what? In the book of Joel about that season. So where do those come from? Well, the Jews understand this, and they have for lots of years. So I want to take you to Daniel chapter 7 with me. I'm going to read some scripture here for you. We're going to see what God talks about here about these books, okay? All right. Chapter 7 of the book of Daniel. I'm going to start in verse 9. It says, I beheld, or Daniel's talking, I beheld the thrones were cast down, and the Ancient of Days did sit. Well, who's the Ancient of Days? That's Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh. That's God Almighty. Whose garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head like pure wool. His throne was like the fiery flame, and his wheels as burning fire. A fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. Thousands of thousands ministered unto him, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him, and the judgment was set. Now I want you to notice this, and it says, and the books were open. It doesn't say book, it says books. There's a plurality here, okay? So when's all this going to happen? This is talking about Tishri 1, or trumpets, and it's revealed in Revelation chapter 20, verse 4 as well. So let's go to Revelation chapter 20 real quick. And we're going to see this right in the Bible. See, people read their Bible and they just skim over stuff and they don't ever look and see, well, is this really what God's saying, or somebody making this up? Like this book I'm talking about now that I've been reading. You know, forbidden knowledge. Well, is it really forbidden? I don't think so either. All right, we're in chapter 20. I want to look at verse 4 with you. John says, and I saw thrones, and they set upon them. Who's that? That's going to be all the saints, you and I, that are born again, have been in heaven for 7 years, and judgment was given unto them. This is a Tishri 1 or trumpets scripture. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus or Yeshua and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or on their hands. And they lived, it means they lived again, with the grammar, plural, they lived again and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. And you know, if we didn't have chapter 20, we wouldn't know how long this period was going to be. But six times God mentions what? 1,000-year period. So we see all this. So who's going to be doing this judgment? Well, we're going to be there with Christ. It tells us in 1 Corinthians 6:2-3, they were going to judge angels. Well, that's a powerful statement, isn't it? They were going to be doing that as well. So he's telling us right here that he saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus when during Jacob's trouble, and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image or the mark and all that. And they lived again, means they're going to be resurrected again and reign with Christ 1,000 years. Amen? So, if the Jews come during this period called Jacob's trouble, well, they'll be part of this kingdom we're talking about. But they have to accept the Messiah to have that. Those that don't are going to go another 1,000 years in their tombs and their graves, and they're going to have to wait for the day of judgment, which is the white throne judgment. Amen? I wanted to go next to, we're still in chapter 20. I'm going to start in verse 9 here. This is about Gog and Magog that's going to come down and destroy all those that are trying to stop what God's trying to do with his son. And they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about and the beloved city. And fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are. See, they're going to be the first two thrown in, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books. You notice it's plural, it doesn't say book. It says, and the books were opened, and another book was opened. Well, what book would that be? That's talking about the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. This is also a Tishri 1 or trumpet scripture at the end of the 1,000-year kingdom reign on this earth. Amen? And it says the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell. I've got to turn my Bible here. And death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. So we can see how important this is. So this season called repentance is very, very, very important. So I'm going to take you back you up to 2 Peter chapter 3, I think it is. Let's go over there real quick and see what God had to say about this, okay? And you know, the Jews believe that man was born. They don't call it a sin nature. They call it an evil inclination. We're all inclined to do things, or our tendency to sin, of which repentance is the only antidote. Remember, the repentance means more than just turning from one's sins. It is to return to God and to the right path with the Lord. In fact, the Jewish Talmud, repentance is regarded as one of the seven things created by God before he created the world. The desire of God is that all would repent and not face the penalty of sin. And we got several scriptures referring to this, and I'm taking you to 2 Peter 3:9. Another place you can look at is in Ezekiel chapter 18, verses 21 through 23, and verses 30 through 32. But 2 Peter 3:9 makes it real clear. It says this, the word of the Lord: the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is longsuffering to usward, not willing that any should perish. But listen to this now, but that all, not some, but that all should what? Come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. When is he going to come? When will this be brought about that people know about it? The unbelievers are going to know, they're going to know that it's something's going on. And it's not for us, the church, we're going to be in heaven. But he's going to come as a thief one day for those that are unbelievers, in which the heaven shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth also, and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heaven, being on fire, shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. You know, the earth was destroyed the first time because of sin with what? With water. Well, now we're going to see it's going to be destroyed with fire. It's going to be redone. Verse 13, nevertheless, we according to his promise look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. And account that the long-suffering of our Lord is what? Salvation. Even as our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you. As also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to understand, or to be understood. And a lot of people today still don't understand what Paul had to say. Which they that are unlearned and unstable rest. Now, this is not R-E-S-T. This is W-R-E-S-T, which means what? To twist. To twist, as they do also the other scriptures, unto their own what? Destruction. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware, lest you also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be what? Glory both now and forever. Amen. So it's very important.
Amen.
So the season of Teshuvah then is a time for each person, you know, during Jacob's trouble, the Jewish people, to annually, every year, for seven times, they're going to do it, 7 years in a row, examine his own life. It is a time to restore relationships between mankind as well as God himself. Realizing that trumpets is understood as the day of judgment in which the heavenly court, we read that in Daniel chapter 7, was to review each person. Repentance, therefore, becomes a pressing matter. The whole structure of the month of Elul is to turn one back toward God before the day of trumpets arrives, which will one day inaugurate the day of the Lord. So they got a certain period of time, don't they? We talked about this a little bit last week. They're going to have 7 years in a row. They're going to rehearse these 7 years. And they're all, every year will come down to the end and have the days of all at the end. And they've been rehearsing this for years. Well, one day it's going to be the real thing. So we know that trumpets then is what? It's a day of judgment. That's when God opens the books. Well, then he gives the people, the Jews at that time, his grace and mercy is there. He's going to give them another 10 days. Isn't that wonderful? To get right before the Day of Atonement, which is what? Judgment. So on that day, trumpets, each person will be judged. And I mentioned this before. God has three books that are open at that time. Those who have returned to God are written in the book of the righteous. Remember that time. Those who have returned to God are written in totally in the righteous. We want to keep that in remembrance. Remember Yeshua's words in John 14:6. He said, I am the way, the truth, and life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. So they'll have those 10 days to turn and get right with God. All the other people who are not written in the book of the righteous are divided into two groups. We talked about that a moment ago. The first of these other two groups is known as in the Hebrew as the Rashim, the holy wicked, and their names are written into the book of the wicked. I call them vessels fit for destruction. God knows they're never going to come. They'll never change. And he knows that. I call these vessels, as I said, vessels fit for destruction due to their evil and hard hearts toward God. Their fate is sealed, what? On trumpets. For they have forever rejected of their own accord the salvation of that God provided through Yeshua the Messiah. That's in Revelation chapter 20, verses 12 through 15. The last group of people known as the intermediates, these are the common people, and they comprise the largest group. They have not yet been judged righteous, nor have they been placed in the book of the holy wicked. they are still in the valley of decision. On trumpets, they are given 10 more days to repent and to get right with God. If they repent by the day of Yom Kippur, which is the Day of Atonement, they are then written in the book of the righteous. If not, they are listed in the book of the wicked. Their final fate is sealed then on Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement. This book of the intermediates is also called the Book of Remembrance. So they're going to have those 10 days to get right, aren't they? And if not, when that last year of Jacob's trouble comes on the Day of Atonement, I believe with all my heart the Scripture reveals that Yeshua HaMashiach will come literally back to this earth and put his foot again on the Mount of Olives, as it tells us in Acts chapter 1. That will be the day. This day is assigned to Israel. If you know anything about the appointed time, Passover was an individual event for each person to what? To get saved, right? It's what it's a picture of. Well, now what does the Day of Atonement show? It's a corporate salvation. The high priest went in there once a year on the Day of Atonement for the whole country. And if they did that, he did the right things, what happened? He came out and they were going to have another year to serve the Lord. So it's the pictures are everywhere about the Messiah. It's all about Yeshua. Amen?
Amen. Let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
I know you're talking about how it's affecting the Jewish Israel, Jacob, which is Israel, and it's Jacob's problem, right?
It's
big Jacob's tribulation, trouble. So what about the church? Because I know some people...
We won't be here at this time.
We won't be here. But what does Tishri 1 have to do with the church?
Well, Laura, what's going to happen on Tishri 1?
Also, I have another question is, you've taught before, and maybe someone's not listening, that we have two calendars.
Right.
That there's two calendars, that the Jewish have a civil calendar and then they have a spiritual
or a
calendar.
Or a prophetic calendar.
Or a prophetic calendar. But the Tishri 1 is a civil calendar, which has to do with the crops and everything and the last feast.
And the new year.
And the new year. It's the new year, right?
But there's also,
because it will be a brand new year.
But there's also a spiritual significance to that. And that's when the last trump will be blown. I'm going to take you there in a moment to 1 Corinthians 15, okay?
But so, during that time of, I say Rosh Hashanah or Tishri 1, during that time, there's trumpets that are blown throughout that day. Could you tell us a little bit about that? And could you tell us a little bit about how it affects the church and how that Jesus has already fulfilled the feast?
Well, you're explaining it right now. Go ahead. You're doing great.
The feast in the spring. So he's fulfilled all of those, right? Passover, first fruits, Pentecost, all of those he's fulfilled. But he hasn't fulfilled these ones that are coming in the fall.
That's right.
Which is on the civil calendar. This is not the spiritual calendar is 6 months either before or 6 months later in Nisan, right? So could you tell us about how this will affect the church? Why should the church be looking and watching? Because in Revelation it says he's coming back for those who are seeking him, looking for him.
But the Bible tells us in Romans chapter 11 that God's going to finish his work with the church, okay? How is he going to finish it? He's going to remove us from the earth, and then he's going to turn to Israel. So 1 year on Rosh Hashanah, or trumpets, 1 year, I hope it's soon, there's going to be a shofar blow, and the church will be the resurrection out from among the dead will come on that day. It means resurrection, and there'll also be a catching away, not a rapture, I hate that word, there'll be a catching away of being snatched off of the earth and taken to heaven. That'll start everything. He will finish his work at that time then with the church, okay? And he's going to turn to Israel. We're going to get to be in heaven and watch all this come to pass. Now, the people on the earth that don't come to Christ, what's going to happen? They will stay here during Jacob's trouble, whether you're a Gentile or whether you're a Jew. The consequences are still there. God has a plan. He's not going to change from it, okay? Now, you talked about the shofars that are blown. Well, trumpets...
And you have a trumpet with you.
Yeah, I have a trumpet. Right, I have one. But on trumpets, remember, they blow, during this time we're in right now, Teshuva, they blow the trumpet every day. Well, on Rosh Hashanah, they blow it 100 times.
In one day.
33, a particular sound in the morning at 9, a particular sound at noon, all right, and then a particular sound at 3 in the evening, which is between the two evenings. Who died between the two evenings? The Messiah did, okay? Those are there. And then the last one on the last day of Jacob's trouble, at the end of Jacob's trouble, there's going to be a great big shofar come, and a man's been assigned to blow it. It's called the Shofar Hagadol, okay? And it's also blown on the Day of Atonement. And it's called in Ephesians chapter 4 or 5 over there, the Awakening Blast. So what's it about? The Jews understand Rosh Hashanah is all wrapped up in a thing called resurrection. Isaiah believed it. Go read Isaiah 26. He believed his dead body was going to raise from the grave. So those are the things that are going to happen. But we got to remember this. We have to keep Israel and the church separate. The church is going to be gone. We will not be here. Now, some people don't believe that, but I believe with all my heart from all the scriptures that we have that we will be gone. So he's going to be dealing with the nation of Israel at that time. But sure, there's going to be a lot of Gentiles left that don't go. So what's going to happen with them? They're going to fall into the same judgment and the same situation that the Jews are going to have during Jacob's trouble. Okay, and they'll have the same period of time to get right with God. Now, I was thinking about this. The Jewish Talmud also has much to say regarding these days. These last 10 days are called the Days of Awe. And so in their writings in Rosh Hashanah 1 verse 13 says, all things are judged on Rosh Hashanah or trumpets, and their fate is sealed on Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, are the words of Rabbi Meir and several other rabbis. Another rabbi, Akiva, says this, all things are judged on Rosh Hashanah. Also in another section, Rosh Hashanah 16b through 17a states this, it has been taught, the school of Shammai says, there will be three classes of people on the final day of judgment, one of the holy righteous, one of the holy wicked, and one of the intermediates. This was come up, with, they came up with this years and years ago. The holy righteous are at once inscribed and sealed for life in the world to come. The holy wicked are sealed for damnation because of their hard heart, and they'll be cast into they'll be cast into a place called Gehenna, perdition. Okay. For this reason, it is fit that the celebration of trumpets as a festive day, but since it is a day of judgment for all living things, it is also fit that we observe Rosh Hashanah trumpets with greater fear and awe than all other festive days. I put that word in my book, greater, in capital, bold, black letters. It's greater than anything else because that's the day it's going to come to a conclusion. Because trumpets is the day of judgment, awe and even dread are part of its message to the world. Each day of the preceding month of Elul, a shofar is blown following each morning service at 9 a.m. This shofar is known to warn and blown to warn the people that trumpets is approaching and that this is the season for repentance. And like I said, 1 year, it's going to be the real thing. They've been rehearsing this for hundreds of years. One day it's going to be the real thing. So as I conclude thinking about this, I want to enforce the message of Teshuvah and Rosh Hashanah. The message from Elul 1 to Rosh Hashanah trumpets is they have it every single year, and it's very clear. Repent before Rosh Hashanah. Do not wait until after Rosh Hashanah, or you will find yourself in the days of awe. This is why we need to understand these Jewish terms. There are Jewish idioms and phrases that help us identify the days that's relating to the season of Teshuvah. Just as unfamiliar foreigners may be confused when they hear Americans call Thanksgiving Day Turkey Day or Pilgrim's Day, non-Jewish believers in Yeshua can be confused by different terms for the major feast of the Lord. Let's look at some of the names, themes, and idioms of just about trumpets. I got 12 of them I got out of the Bible. Number one, Teshuvah. What does it mean? Repentance. Number two, Rosh Hashanah, the head of the year. And the Jews believe that's the birthday of the world, that it came on a Tishri 1. So to me, that tells me that Adam was created on Tishri 6, the man's number. Verse number three, Yom Teruah, the day of the awakening blast. That's what it's called. How about this one? Yom Adin, the day of judgment again. How about Hamalek, the coronation of the Messiah? When we get caught off the earth, we're going to see him coronated as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Then we have Yom Zikaron, the day of remembrance or a memorial. Number seven, the time of Jacob's trouble, the birth pangs of the Messiah. Number eight, the opening of the gates, Isaiah 26, verses 2 through 3. We sing that song in church all the time. The wedding ceremony, number 9. Number 10, the resurrection of the dead, the Natzal in Hebrew, N-A-T-Z-A-L, a snatching off of the earth. Number 11, the last trump, the shofar. And then we have Yom HaKisa, the hidden day, as we talked about last week in Zephaniah chapter 2. And if they will only repent and follow God, that they can escape this time of trouble upon the earth. So these days we have, and leading up to trumpets, are significant in the last days. We also will look at the prophetic timetable of all that. I want to go back now to 1 Corinthians 15 with you. I hope you've all read this intently over the years. I've read this book probably 100 times or more, this chapter especially, about the first fruits of the resurrection. Verse 20 says, but now is Christ then risen from the dead, and become what? The first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. What man? Yeshua. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward they that are Christ, what? At his coming. It's incredible. Now I'm in chapter 15. I want to show you something. I've heard people talk about this last trump. I've heard all kinds of teachings on it, that it's the last trump blown in the book of Revelation. Well, I want you to know, Revelation was written many, many years after 1 Corinthians was written. So this is something that Paul was given out in the desert in the book of Galatians when he spent that 3 years out there near Mount Sinai, and God gave him and spoke this mystery to him about the church and Israel being one. Starting in verse 50, it says this. Well, it's verse 49. As we have borne the image of the earthly, we're in that right now, I am, we shall also bear what? The image of the heavenly. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Do you hear that? Corruption will never inherit incorruption. That's why we have to be born again. We have to come to Christ and have the corruption removed. Now here's the key verse, 51. Behold, I show you a mystery, Paul said. We shall not all sleep. That word sleep, in the Greek means what? To die. But we shall all what? Be changed, or a good word here would be, we're all going to be transformed, whether we're dead or alive. Now listen to this. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, how fast is this? Quick. At the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be, what? Changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. This is when it will happen at the resurrection. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. I believe that's in Isaiah chapter 25, verse 8. Verse 55, O death, Paul said, where is thy sting? It's mentioned in the first covenant. O grave, where is thy victory? There's none. The sting of death is what? Sin. If we die and go to hell, it's because of sin, and we have not repented and come to Christ. That's what Teshuvah is all about too. And the strength of sin is what? The law, or the Torah. The Torah gives instructions how to lead and walk a holy life before God. But thanks be to God, he says in verse 57, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now back up to verse 52. This is a feast of trumpets. In a moment, now Paul wasn't confused with this, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump that's blown on Rosh Hashanah will be that awakening blast. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and shall be what? Changed or transformed. So that's the last trump, the one that's blown on the last day of trumpets at the close of Jacob's trouble. That's when it's all going to come to a conclusion. Now we go over to
want to confuse that with Rosh Hashanah.
No,
it's not. That's at the end of the 7 years tribulation
right.
time.
Mm-hmm.
That's also another trump.
There's a lot of trumps.
There's a lot of
trumps.
The last
trump is blown on the very last day of Jacob's trouble on trumpets. Okay, and even after that blows, what's going to happen? The end's going to be there. Let's go to chapter 4 of 1 Thessalonians. Paul's going to talk again about this trump. Okay, So this season of Teshuvah is important. So you can see why the Jews blow that shofar every single day during these 40 days. The first 40 days are the most important, but we back up the first 30 days is very important because it leads up to what? The Day of Atonement. They want to have all this happen before Rosh Hashanah and the Day of Atonement comes. If you wait, you're going to be in Jacob's trouble in that period called the Days of Awe.
So the first 30 days is all in the month of
Elul.
Elul.
What we're in right now.
Then the last 10 days is in the month of
Tishri.
Tishri. And so that 31st day would be like Tishri 1.
That's right.
Which is Rosh Hashanah.
That's right.
Which is when the trumpets are blown 100 times during that day, mm-hmm. right?
That's right. So you think about it. 1 year at the end of Jacob's trouble, on the days of awe and all that, all these things are going to come to pass. Think about this. In 22 days from beginning to end, and it's going to be all over. 22 days. It'll cover what? Trumpets, the days of awe, the Day of Atonement, and then also tabernacles from Tishri 15 to the 22nd. So here you are. It'll all be over in 22 days. One day it'll be over.
And we haven't talked about tabernacles.
No, well, we haven't come to that time yet.
We can do that another week.
But we're in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Look what the Apostle Paul wrote. Now, where did he get all this from? Did he just dream this up? Did it fall out of the sky?
No.
Or did somebody teach him this? No. He said, no one ever taught me these things. Go read Galatians chapter 1. He tells you that. He says, verse 13, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren. I don't want anybody listening to us right now to be ignorant of these things. You can be aware, okay? And know that if you're born again and you have Yeshua in your life, when that trumpet blows at the end of the church age itself, well, you'll be gone. And you won't go through this terrible time called Jacob's trouble on this earth. What is it called? It's called what? Jacob's trouble. It's not the church's trouble. What was Jacob's name changed to? To Israel. It's Israel's trouble. It's not the church's. And I hear this taught all the time that you're going to go through this. No, we are not going to go through that. We're going to prove this in a moment here. All right? So he don't want us to be ignorant concerning them which are asleep that have already died dead, and ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. So who are those that have no hope? The ones that don't have Yeshua, they have no hope in this world or the one to come unless they change and come to the Messiah. And it goes for Gentile and also for the Jewish people. Verse 14, for if we believe that Jesus or Yeshua died and rose again, even so them also which sleep or have died in Jesus will God bring with him. Now remember, he's not coming back to the earth during this time. He's coming in the sky. All those bodies are still in the graves. When I was in Israel, I saw all those tombs where people were buried. Their bodies are still there. Their spirit and soul are someplace else, but their bodies are there. But one day that resurrection is going to come, and that body's going to come out and be joined again with their spirit man. Amen? That's the ones that God's right says. Also, Jesus, will God sleep in Jesus, will God bring with him? For this we say unto you, by the word of the Lord. That's where Paul got it. I marked that in my Bible when I first got saved. That we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. In other words, we're not going to precede those that have died. The ones that died in Christ will rise first, okay? Which are dead. I call it the resurrection out from among the dead, because there's going to be a lot of people when that day comes, they're going to be left in their graves for another 1,000 years. Isn't that sad?
Did you say again?
There's going to be a bunch of people that don't accept Christ. Think about this. Okay? They're going to have to go through another, there's going to be a 1,000-year period
that they will have to go through.
They're going to have to go through.
Through that will be through the 1,000 years of the kingdom.
That's right.
When Christ will reign and on this earth, and we will reign with him as priests and kings, right?
That's right.
And so that's going to be, they'll have to wait. But when they come out, it's going to be for judgment.
But if those people don't come, one day they're going to die. They're going to remain in the grave for another 1,000 years until the great white throne judgment at the end. So today is the day of salvation, the Bible says, not tomorrow. Amen. Today is the day. Now, verse 16 says, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and here we go, with the trump of God. This is the last trump of God that Paul talks about in 1 Corinthians 15. And the dead in Christ, well, what? Shall rise first, okay? Then we which are alive, that means alive in Christ, and remain, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Now, if we were going to go through this dreadful time called Jacob's trouble, the church, like everybody's, a lot of people are teaching, why would he put that in the Bible? Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. How could that be any kind of comfort? It can't. So he's encouraging us and showing us we're not going to be here. Verse chapter 5 now. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you, because he had taught them before. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. Who's it going to come on as a thief in the night? Unbelievers, not believers. We're not going to be here. For those are the ones that are outside. They're not in the church. Shall say peace and safety. This is talking about Jacob's trouble now. Then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, listen to this. Here's our but. Ye are not in darkness, if that day should overtake you as a thief. See, they always talk about getting ready as a thief in the night or whatever, but they forget about verse 4. We're not in darkness. We're not going to be caught by surprise if we know the word of God and all. And then he says, you are the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. We're not talking about drinking. We're talking about self-controlled. For they that sleep in the night, and they that are drunken be drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober again, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet the hope of salvation. Now here's another verse showing you that you're not going to go through Jacob's trouble. For God has not appointed us to what? To wrath. What is his wrath? Jacob's troubles. That's going to be the wrath that's going to come. But to obtain what? Salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, whether we're alive or dead, we should live together with him. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do. And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you and so on. Amen. So he gave us all of this. Now I go down here at the end. Verse 22 says, abstain from all appearance of evil. Very important verse. 23, listen to this. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved. Listen. Blameless unto what? To the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. Well, what's he talking about? What's he talking about? Preserve blameless unto his coming, when he comes to catch the church away. Amen? So what an incredible event. Trumpets is every year, and they rehearse it. But the interesting thing is, most of the church don't talk much about it. But it's one of the most important days of all the calendar that the Jews have. Now, Donna mentioned the two calendars. I thought we might touch on that. We need to go to the book of Joel real quick here, and we'll show you something with this. It's very important to know. Joel chapter 2. This is what got me looking at this years ago, and I couldn't comprehend what was going on. But we finally realized this if we look at this. I'm going to start in Joel chapter 2. In verse 21, I'm going to read a few verses here. Joel says, by the Spirit of God, fear not, O land, be glad and rejoice, for the Lord will do great things. He certainly will. Be not afraid, ye beast of the field, for the pastures of the wilderness do spring. For the tree beareth her fruit, the fig tree and the vine do yield their strength. This is all going to happen at the end. Be glad then, ye children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God, for he hath given you the former rain moderately, and he will cause to come down for you the rain, the former rain, and the latter rain in the first month. Now, if you look at this word about the former rain, in the Hebrew, it refers to a teacher of righteousness. For he hath given you a teacher of righteousness moderately, and he will cause to come down for you, what? The rain, a teacher of righteousness, for the former rain and the latter rain in the first month. Now, what got me going on this years ago, how can you have the first month, have the former and latter rain in the first month, and one of them is in the spring and one of them is in the fall? How can you have that? It's impossible, right?
Right.
You can't have two. It says right here, you'll have the former and the latter rain in the first month. So God's referring here about these two calendars he has. And I finally picked up on it when I went over and studied Genesis chapter 8 over there and what God was doing over there. So we find out that God had Israel, I like to call it, he put them on a civil calendar from Genesis 1 through Exodus chapter 12 when he changed their calendar. He moved the number on the month, not the season, but the number. And this is how we came up with this, okay? And so everything after this was put in place, everything that God does through the Word of God in the First Covenant prophetically is all based on the prophetic calendar. It's been changed. It was showing Israel a new birth. Now, the crops and coronation of kings and all that still came on the civil calendar. So God's going to honor both of those at the end. Yeshua has to fulfill both of those calendars to be your Messiah. Has he fulfilled the spiritual part? Yeah. Passover, unleavened bread, first fruits, and Pentecost. That's all been fulfilled. But the civil calendar in the latter part of the year, he has not fulfilled that yet, but he's going to.
What I see is he's bringing this to a full circle.
That's right.
To a completion.
You got it. That's good.
And we know that this time here, because it tells us what's going to be, 24 says, and the floor shall be full of wheat. Well, what time is the wheat harvest?
In the fall.
And also the vat shall overflow with wine and oil. And when is that?
In the fall.
That's in the fall.
That's during tabernacles. All that's going to become in all the harvest.
So he's going to bring this all to a completion. He has to come back to where he started.
That's right.
And so this would be the very end, and all the very last.
And all these crops and things that show a pattern of people coming in to the kingdom of God.
So this shows that Jesus is going to fulfill both calendars, the civil calendar and the prophetic calendar or spiritual calendar.
That's right. Amen. So to prove this, let's go over now to Exodus chapter 12. We got to put all the scripture together. So I hope this is bringing somebody who's listening today a real interest in studying the Hebrew that's in the Bible. Not necessarily the language, but the Jewish understanding. This book I got in my hand happens to be a Jewish document, whether you believe that or not, but it is. Now, if we go to Exodus chapter 12, now, they just came out of Egypt after all those years, okay? And we come to chapter 12, verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, this month. Now, what month did they come out in? Does anybody know that?
That was Nisan.
Nisan. This month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Well, Nisan on the civil calendar was what? The seventh month. Okay?
But he changed it.
But he changed it now to make it the first month. He basically turned the clock back, showing the new birth. Like I always use myself. I'm 79 on my civil calendar, but I'm 35 or 36 years old on my prophetic calendar. That's all that matters to God, is where are you prophetically with him? Are you born again? Are you walking with him? Are you serving him? Does he know that you love him and that you care about him? Okay? So it says, this month shall be unto you what? The beginning of months. Okay? Now, it's not years. It says months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. So it went from the seventh month to what? To the first month. So what's the seventh month now on the prophetic calendar? The month that we're getting ready to come into, the month of Tishri.
Now, it sounds a little confusing. Maybe some people are saying, you know, this is a little bit too much for me. But I just wanted to mention that you have a book here.
Right.
That has, maybe you could show it so the people on the Facebook could see it. But he has a book called Pictures of the Messiah. And it's all about, let's see the...
I'm going to show the chart on the calendar.
Okay, there's the chart he's going to show on the calendar.
It's a circular calendar.
There's charts. through this book. I think there's 10 or 12 charts, or I'm not sure how many, but the book is $25. It has all the feasts of the Lord. It talks about Passover. It talks about what he's been talking about. The very first chapter is about the calendar.
You can see this calendar.
So it's very about the calendar.
It shows the civil, the spiritual, and where we're even on our calendar. It shows all of them. It shows all of them on this one page. You can look it up and you can compare it, okay? Right now, what month are we in right now? We're in the month of Elul. We go down here and we find Elul. On our calendar, it could be August and September, all right? And then up at the top, it tells us it's during the time of Teshuvah and a call to repentance. And it's the sixth month on the prophetic calendar. The 12th month on what? The civil calendar. So it's not, if you look at it, it's really not that confusing. But we got to look at this and understand what God's wanting us to know.
Well, let me finish telling them about this book. It's $25 and with plus shipping and handling. And right. It has so much information in it that you can glean from. And you can look at whatever feast that we're talking about or whatever that's in that season that you can read. And you can study it. And you'll begin to understand what he's talking about. You know, about the, you have to know the calendar because God's word is set up upon his calendar. When he says the first day or the 10th day or he says the first month, this way you'll know where he's talking about in the year, because it's not like our calendar. It's not like ours, so you can't, there's no comparison there.
That's right.
And a Hebrew calendar is 30 days a month, 12 months a year.
360 days a year.
360 days, and you say, well, how can that be? Because the Jewish calendar, if you buy one now, it's not what it is.
Nope.
But if you go back and you read in the book of Revelation, it goes right back to the 360 days. So, you know, it's by the moon, not by the sun. We don't worship the sun. We don't worship the moon either, but it's the sun. You know, our calendar set up by according to the sun.
The moon determines the next month.
But the moon determines the next month.
That's right.
So when you look at our calendar and Hebrew calendar, it's going to be entirely, it's going to be different. And so when you start to understand and you look for, right now we have a full moon. It's called a harvest moon.
Right.
Right now. So you can go outside tonight and you can look at the harvest moon. Mm-hmm. Well, you know that the next thing that we'll see will be, you'll see it start to wane. You know, it's going to get smaller and smaller until you'll get down. You won't see anything. It'll be black, like for 3 days, like Yeshua when he was in the grave for 3 days. It'll be black almost for that long. And then all of a sudden you'll see a sliver. And so that's when you didn't mention this. That's when the heralds, is that what they call them, Pastor
Yep.
Gene?
Went out on the mountains.
They go out in the mountains and they look different places in Israel and they look for the very first sign of the new moon. And that's what they call it, the new moon. So that's the new month. So just when you see that very sliver of that, you'll know that it's Tishri 1. So look up because your redemption may be drawing nigh this year. Amen?
That's right.
And so Rosh Hashanah, which you didn't mention either, only comes on a new moon. A new moon.
The only appointed time that comes on a new moon.
Only comes on a new moon, and it's one of 2 days. And so that is also where it says what you won't know.
The day or the hour.
The day or the hour, because it could be one of 2 days. One of what, like 48 hours probably.
That's right,
so we need to be looking up at that time. And who's he going to be coming back for? Those who are looking for him.
There's
a lot of people who say they know Jesus, but they don't live for him, and they living in the wrong kind of lifestyle.
That's right.
So he's coming back for those who are believers and who are looking for him to return.
That's right.
This hour is almost gone. Yes, Bob, you have something to say?
I was going to say that once again, we're still offering a free CD that is the audio track of the God Story video from creation to revelation.
Mm-hmm.
And it's 18 stories of the Bible starting in Genesis to Revelation strung together that tell the whole gospel message and how God has tied the story of Christ from the beginning to the end in the scriptures.
Wonderful.
The narration is done by Dean Jones, who was a 7-time Academy Award winner for Disney Studios.
Wow.
He's the one that drove the little Volkswagen around.
He was the one that had Herbie the Volkswagen.
Herbie the Volkswagen, yeah.
53.
He had a good voice for that, though, didn't he?
He had a fantastic voice, yeah. And it comes out in the CD that we're offering.
That's good.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Well, we're down to just a few minutes left here.
There
so,
you go, Pastor Gene.
Yeah, so if there's something you'd
want to share a gospel,
you want to
pray, somebody would just pray. And
this is just an important season, I think. And, you know, the church don't think so maybe, but it's a sign that 1 year we're going to be at that point. And it's not just a Jewish thing. It's for the whole world. One year on trumpets, there's going to be a resurrection, as I said, out from among the dead of all true believers in Messiah. And there'll be also a catching away. And well, that's going to start the end days. And then we go into this time called Jacob's trouble. And so we got people telling you that you're going to go through all of it. Well, my Bible doesn't tell me that. And so I want you to believe that as well. Don't believe everything that you hear, that you're going to go through it and all the rest of it. He passed over you when you came to him. The blood of Yeshua is on your life. So I'm going to ask you today as we get ready to close on this program, if you've never thought about this in a serious way, knowing that could it be this year? Rosh Hashanah is only a few days away, trumpets. Could it be this year? Well, I want you to get saved before that comes, okay?
Amen.
Amen.
Gentile and Jew, okay? And so it's an important time for the church to realize that as well, to teach it so the unbelievers will know that, hey, 1 year there's going to be a shofar is going to blow just like with the Jews after the church is gone later on. So there's a day of reckoning for us as well. So today could be your day.
Today, you mentioned a moment ago,
today is the day of salvation, not tomorrow. So make that decision and start studying the Word of God. There's so much in it that people don't know. You know, we just believe what we hear all the time. Well, let's go a little bit deeper. When I got involved with this years ago, you know, I was just believing everything I heard in the pulpit. Well, that wasn't necessarily true until one day the Lord spoke to me while I was studying. He says, "You've been robbed, Pastor. You've been robbed." And I says, "Robbed of what?" And he says, "Your Jewish roots."
Amen. Amen. Well, this is Pastor Gene and Donna Hilton. We're just blessed to be here. Pastor Gene, why don't you get the shofar and see if you can blow
that
shofar.
I'll see if I can blow this with
this. This is a ram's horn.
This is a real ram's horn. Maybe you can see it here.
Blow.
This came from Israel. This is what we're going to hear from heaven. The real thing.
Amen.
Not a Yemenite, the big long one, but this
Amen.
Is the real one. Okay.
And I want to mention also that we have Shabbat today at 2 o'clock at the Lions Church in Stuart, Florida. And you can call at area code 772-285-7007. And we say Shabbat Shalom, Sabbath peace, and rest, and blow the shofar.
And as we close, we tell you to look up because your redemption draweth nigh. Here we go. The sound of the shofar.
The sound of the shofar on Rosh Hashanah. Amen. Actually, you said they're blowing them now. Every day they blow it
in the morning at 9 o'clock.
Amen. So turn to the Lord and come to the Lord. Return to the Lord. If you've left him and you've backslidden, return to the Lord. Come celebrate Shabbat with us every Saturday at 2 o'clock. And so we'll be there at the Alliance Church today at 2 p.m. So come and join us and worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy.
We are raising standard of excellence.
I trust that this time with you today has been informative and uplifting. I look forward to speaking to you again next week at the same time. May the God of peace rule and reign in your hearts and lives. And remember that Jesus is Lord and that he is the spirit of prophecy. Thank you.